And welcome to the August 27th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll?
Saltzman, Novick, Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hales.
Here. I think we're going to be joined by one or more of our colleagues, but three of us are enough to make a quorum. So welcome, everyone. We have a single item on the council calendar this afternoon. I'll get our clerk to read it in a moment. I just want to welcome you here. This is an appeal hearing, so there's a structure to it in which certain times are allocated for the staff report and for the appellant and for supporters and opponents of the appellant. If you've been here before, you know the rules, which you can testify by signing up and letting us know that you want to speak on the item. We typically allow 2 minutes for each person who's speaking, again, other than the appellant themselves. And if you do want to testify, you need only give us your name. You don't need to give us your address. If you're a registered lobbyist under the city's code, you need to let us know that. We also practice common sense decorum in this room, which is we want to make sure we hear everybody's point of view. So if you agree with someone and want to indicate that, feel free to give them a thumbs up or a wave of the fingers or some other positive sign of encouragement that's nonverbal. And likewise to the negative, if you disagree with someone, please employ a polite hand gesture, but let's not have vocal demonstrations in favor or against our fellow citizens' points of view so everybody gets heard. It's not much more complicated than that, so welcome, everyone. Please, would you read the item, Sue, and we'll proceed.
Item 902, appeal of Paul Stanford against Portland Parks and Recreation decision to deny a permit application to hold the Portland Hempstock Festival at Waterfront Park in 2015.
Okay, so here's the procedure as I have it. I'm going to have an introduction from Commissioner Fritz. We'll have a staff report from the Parks Bureau. The appellant then gets a 10-minute time period to make the case about the appeal. Individual supporters of the appellant will then get called on to support that position. And then if there are opponents of the appeal who are individuals, again, likewise, we'll hear them one at a time at 2 minutes each. Give the Parks Bureau a couple of minutes for a closing statement and the appellant an opportunity for rebuttal, and then we decide. So with that, Commissioner Fritz, any other comments from you before we begin?
Thank you. I'd just like to remind everybody that we do have a town hall this evening about the city's recreational marijuana program, and it's at 6 o'clock at Emmanuel Hospital in North Portland. So if folks are here to comment generally about management of marijuana in our city, that's the appropriate forum. This is strictly about the festival and whether the permit should be issued or not.
Okay, thank you. With that, let's call on the Parks Bureau for a staff report, please.
All right, well, thank you, Mayor Hales, members of the council. I'm Harry Auerbach from the City Attorney's Office. I'm just going to give you a quick background as to where we are, and then Sean Rogers, who's the manager of the Customer Service Center, will run through the decision-making and why the permit was denied. Under our code, people who want to hold events in Portland parks are required to obtain permits, and the code sets forth a list of things for which you need to have a permit in a park. Any event that is going to involve 150 or more people at one time requires a permit, so an event like this falls within that category. Because we recognize the nature of parks as public forums where people typically gather to express their views, we have written the code, you have adopted a code, that entitles people to have permits for events as long as they meet the listed criteria in the code. And the code lists seven of them. I won't go through all seven of them unless you have questions about them. But one of them is that the applicant not have failed to comply with conditions of permits previously issued by parks. So we have had a fairly lengthy history, which Sean will describe to you, of this event in the parks over the years, and have had persistent problems getting them to comply with provisions of their permit, primarily around controlling the use and distribution of controlled substances at the event. So following the 2013 event at Kelly Point Park, the Parks Bureau determined to deny the permit for 2014. And that permit was appealed to this council. The council upheld the denial of the permit, but requested that Parks work with Hempstock to try to accommodate the event at Waterfront Park at the end of last season. And so they did that, and they worked to get a plan to try to address the concerns that had led to the denial of the permit, and they issued the permit for the 2014 event. Based on the occurrences at the 2014 event, which Sean and others will describe to you, when the applicant came in to apply for the 2015 permit, that permit was denied on the basis that the applicant had failed to comply with the conditions of the permit for 2014. The applicant then appealed to this council and at the same time filed in circuit court a petition for a writ of review of Sean's decision denying the permit. And so the hearing on this appeal has been delayed pursuant to a stay issued by the circuit court while that process played out. We obtained a decision from the circuit court upholding the denial of the permit. And so now we're back for the applicant's opportunity to make his appeal to you directly. And that's all I've got at this point, unless you have questions.
I just have one question. You said you used the term controlled substance and you didn't define it. So what were you referring to?
Well, marijuana. The reports were that there was rampant use of marijuana. There were vendors selling marijuana Sean and the police representatives and others who were there can describe to you what they observed.
Mayor and commissioners, Hempstock, we have a long history with them. They have been with us quite a while. They've been producing events in our parks for 10 years. They started in Waterfront Park back in 2005 and 6. We moved them to Selwood Riverfront Park in 2007. From there, we moved them to the East Bank Festival Plaza, then to Kelly Point Park from 2009 to 2013. During that time, they began to expand in their numbers, their attendance grew. At the same time, Kelly Point Park is a great distance away from very many neighbors. So it was relatively a perfect place to have an event that might be challenging. It, however, in 2013 became very challenging for some of our neighbors and raised several questions that questioned whether or not we should continue the event. Then they had their event following council, their appeal to Waterfront Park last year. During this period, Hempstock has shown a consistent failure to comply to the conditions of their permit, failure to prevent illegal drug use at their permit or at their event, a lack of administrative capabilities to complete the permit application process without extensive park assistance each and every year. Lack of skills and management capabilities to run an event of this size. And it has gotten relatively big. During Hempstock's last event at Kelly Point Park in 2013, the number and degree of issues, challenges, and violations became too numerous to accept. And for those reasons, Hempstock's 2014 application was denied. As you know, Hempstock appealed the decision to City Council. Council provided Hempstock one last opportunity to appeal or to apply and receive a permit to hold their event. With that opportunity came Council's expectation that Hempstock would meet the conditions required of all events. Contract a professional event manager to run their event. Contract with an experienced security company to secure the event. And lastly, to assure that all conditions of use are met, including prohibiting the consumption of illegal and controlled substances during their event. During the 2014 event, just last year, the following issues and violations continued to occur. Ongoing unrestricted use of illegal and controlled substances by organizers and their patrons. Unwillingness by the organizers to enforce state and federal laws required in the conditions of use of that permit. Organizers directing or instructing participants where to use illegal substances on park property. The event took place just last year on the 27th and 28th of September and is well documented both in the following two Portland Police After Action Report as well as park rangers' observations and documentation. I'd like to introduce for you Sergeant Heidi Brockman with the Portland Police's event coordinator position, as well as Galena Burley, the security manager for Portland Parks and Recreation.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. As he said, I am Sergeant Heidi Brockman with the Portland Police Bureau, and I've taken over the special events position for the Police Bureau for Sergeant Craig Dobson. He was actually a significant and important integral part of planning this event last year, and he is unable to attend today to give you the firsthand account of what happened the day of the event. I was part of the planning portion in working with the applicant and the organizers for this event, and so I will explain a little bit about that process as far as working with them. As Sean mentioned about giving them clear instructions about the expectations, specifically about lawful behaviors and event management and substances that would or would not be allowed. We worked extensively with them on and having to develop a very specific security plan, which took a lengthy process. They were frequently not able to provide specific details for their event. It was basically a cut-and-paste type document initially. But when we got into the nuts and bolts of it, they finally did agree to and presented a safety and security plan, as well as having verbal assurances that they would abide by this plan, which specifically addresses no illegal activities or substances, including cannabis use at this event, no alcohol, illegal drugs, or paraphernalia at the event, and no usage, consumption, sales, display, or other presence of any such items at the event. And this is all in their security plan that they agreed to. There was also discussion about clear messaging on their websites as well as at the venue itself about not using these events, substances. But from that website, there is one line in there about that illegal substances would not be used. But as far as vendors, which we had lengthy discussions about, making sure that such things as edibles, which is, you know, consumable, eaten marijuana, substances would not be used or sold. There was nothing in their open source or on their website about restricting that or not being allowed. In fact, from Sergeant Dobson's report about the event, there was a vendor that came up or a patron that came up and said that they didn't know that they couldn't consume these things. They've been to these events before, and they've been able to use them and to purchase these items. Other vendors claimed that they were not able to, they never knew that they couldn't sell these things. And it was not in their materials on their website, as they said that they would provide for this event. So it was many, many violations of the safety and security plan, as well as just the event management itself, which had issues. So, and I'm now going to turn it over to Galena Burley to talk about the parks side of it.
Hey, thank you so much. Myself and rangers were out in the field for the event, and I just want to go to the slide where our report, maybe a half hour from the night of September 27th. So a few things that were reported by the ranger team included teenagers smoking a bong at the police memorial, adults passing a joint under the Hawthorne Bridge, multiple groups of teenagers passing a pipe under the Hawthorne Bridge, multiple individuals carrying bongs, pipes, and bags of marijuana, groups of teens smoking out of a bong, six groups smoking marijuana on the grass north of the Hawthorne Bridge, two individuals smoking marijuana in a bridge stairwell, two groups of teens smoking out of a bong, and a small container of crystal meth found at the police memorial. This is just a half hour that we were on our patrol. Our job is to observe and provide positive presence. If you have any questions, I was also there that night. Certainly be more than happy to elaborate.
Questions for any of our staff?
I also have officers, I'm sorry, that were present at the event. I was not able to be there, but there are also officers that were at the event that can also testify to specifics.
Okay. I guess one question I have, just trying to look at the record, maybe you can recap this a little bit for me, and that is, aside from, so there's this, if you will, bilateral discussion between the city and the organizers about whether they met the conditions of the event or not. That's why we're here. That's why we're having this hearing. But what about everybody else? Were there a lot of complaints from neighboring property owners, from citizens, from people that were otherwise in the area? What did we hear from the community, other than, again, city bureaus on one side and the event organizers on the other?
You want to talk to the calls for service?
You can.
Yeah. So Sean and I, he and his customer service has a call taker who takes all of our security reports. We didn't bring that information with us for this particular meeting, but we'll be more than happy to provide it.
I'd mm-hmm. think that would be useful, maybe even from the officers who are here, who were there that day, to give us some sense of that.
In talking with Sergeant Dobson from that event, is people were not able to pretty much walk through the park. The organizers had agreed to taking care of not only the area or securing the area inside the fenced area, but they had agreed to all of that park land geography adjacent to the areas that they had asked for in the permit. They were not kept clear of all of these items as described by Ms. Burley.
I'm not sure if I understood you. So they're responsible for the area inside the permitted area. I assume it was fenced. I didn't actually see the event, but mm-hmm. I assume it was fenced. So they're responsible for the event taking. The event is inside the fence. But there were also conditions about managing conditions outside of the fence?
Correct. Just in the park itself, along the walkways and so forth, that the security was supposed to take patrols through there and make sure that the area was also not being used, having illegal substances used out there. That was part of the contract with the security team. And that the messaging also from the stage itself would be clear in that the use of the substance was not supposed to be used inside the event, nor was it to be used outside the event. But that was not the case. They basically said, don't use it in the event, but if you use it outside, that's not on us, which is not what they agreed to in our negotiations.
When we issue a permit for an event that is fenced with controlled entry, specifically that was part of the security plan, so we could check to make sure that illegal substances did not get into the event. But the fact that there is a fence does not set a delineation between where the event actually impacts. Obviously, when you are lining up outside the event, you have to have your participants somewhere, and they're outside that fence. The event really is the entire area that stages to come into the event, as well as around.
And is that normal, like for the Blues Festival, is the same kind of...
Certainly. Yes.
Same rules.
Yeah. We typically require permittees to provide security services beyond the permitted area?
Yes, because you are on park property. Where you put your fence does not define the fact that your event individuals that are coming to your event, your vendors, they are entering park property.
Right. Well, they didn't have a permit for the entirety of Waterfront Park.
No. They had it for Section E, which is the bowl area. Correct.
So were we explicit in the permit about how far beyond the boundaries of the event we expected them to maintain order?
We only defined the area that they are reserving, which was the bowl area, which is the entirety from the Hawthorne Bridge to the hotel, NATO Parkway to the river.
All right. Well, what we may need to talk with you more about that after the hearing or later in the hearing. But
sure.
Okay. Other questions for staff at this point? Again, we may have questions later on, but we should move on to the appeal. And unless you have anything else you need to present now,
yep,
we'll move on to the appeal and get you back up later. Okay. Thank you. So now let's hear from the appellant. Please come on up.
Thank you. Well, I'd first like to say that I'm amazed at some of the statements made by the city council here today.
Okay, well, hang on and let her get you set up and then start your presentation. And you just need to give us your name in each case of your,
okay,
of your panel, and then proceed.
When you're ready to start,
just click right
that.
There.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Go ahead, Paul.
I'm Ann Witte. I'm Paul Stanford's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And
have a seat. We're not that formal.
We did not receive any guidance on the format of this event until 1:30 this afternoon. There was an apology with it, but nevertheless, we have a kind of a format. We'd like to ask two speakers to speak first, and then since I didn't go to this event and you didn't, we have a 13-minute video of clips of things out of that Hempstock 2014 that we think show why this is an extremely valuable event for the city, and which also demonstrates that we complied in every possible way, as we promised, with the strictures that were put upon us. You saw the beginning of it there. You have here of every single vendor who had a contract was required to sign the promise that they would not have any sales, that nothing would be sold, that nothing illegal would take place, and that they would be excluded from the park if they didn't follow that. And it's written on every one of their contracts, so everybody was told that. Those signs were there for everybody that entered the park to see. There were many of them all over, everywhere. Oh,
sorry.
Well, I guess they're not. But they were that big. That's what they were for.
Can we bring those signs in? Sure. But go ahead and put on your presentation.
I'd like to
bring the signs in and later on, just so we can see what was done.
Okay.
So, and again, we don't have to be that formal about it. But I'm not sure if we'll have time to see a whole 13-minute video. But
important.
It's most important that we hear from you, yeah, about how you believe the event went and why you believe these criteria were met.
That's
Parks
what we
Bureau
will
says
show
they
you
weren't.
In the video. It's important, I think, for you to know that this is not some hippie gathering to have a smoke out.
No prejudice here. We know there's two sides of this story. That's why it's
certainly
an appeal hearing. So.
But I ask Paul Loney to speak. He has been a sponsor of the event for many years. And then Lee Berger
Oh, Lee, Lee's here. Go first, Lee.
So we have a series of attorneys that
want
to address the City Council about how we did comply with this requirement. We did not allow smoking. There was not smoking at this event. We stopped it. We did everything in our power to do that. We had every single vendor sign a contract that there would be no marijuana sales, no marijuana vending, no marijuana smoking at the event. And we made that announcement from the stage every 15 minutes. Several of the people who made those announcements are going to be here to verify that. And we have many videos. The 13-minute video is just part of that. And I'll show you the vendor contracts that we had signed by every vendor as well. Go ahead, Lee.
My name is Leland Berger. I live at 3427 Northeast 11th on the stretch of Northeast 11th. It's both in the Irvington and Sabin neighborhood. And I look forward to seeing you, Commissioner Fritz, tonight at the hospital, Emanuel Hospital. I spoke at this event. I've spoken at previous events, both here and in Seattle, at the Seattle Hemp Fest over the years. I've been practicing for 32 years, and I've been focusing my practice on cannabis-related issues for about the last 20. I spoke at this event, and I spoke about what I always spoke about. I spoke about the importance of registering to vote. I spoke about the importance of being actively involved in the political process. I spoke about how marijuana was not going to legalize itself and that it was incumbent on everybody present to do that. And I told them when I spoke, and everybody I heard speak said that there was no use allowed and that that was the condition placed on the event by the city. And that's what I saw. I didn't know there was a prohibition against edibles. That seems, I mean, by consumption, I mean, if you're not supposed to actively use and you're a consumer, then what are you supposed to do? I'm a little confused by that. But I did want to set the scene for you, if I could, too, Mayor Hales. The it was in the bowl, and you know, there's that path that goes down from Front Avenue, NATO Parkway, I guess now, down to the Hawthorne Bridge. So there were two fenced areas. And there were these two narrow gates where admission was allowed, and that caused a lot of clogging and a lot of, you know, inability to control what would be happening because the city required that kind of fencing. And I guess the last thing I wanted to say is, you know, I don't know that you're going to be able to reach a definitive resolution about what happened or didn't happen, or, but I can tell you that I saw Mr. Stanford during the event. I know that he was trying his hardest to comply with all of the conditions. I know that that people complied with it, but I have to disagree with you, Commissioner Fritz, that the status of the law now doesn't affect whether a permit should be issued or not. On last November, the people of the state of Oregon decided that the public use of marijuana would be a Class B violation. As best I can tell, the city's police department views enforcement of that law as a low priority and not a public safety matter. So even if it were true, these allegations, I'm not sure that the city wants to not license this event, and I'll tell you why. Vivian McPeak is here. He's with the Seattle Hemp Fest. I've been blessed to be asked as a speaker there over the last decade, and I asked him what the financial impact was for the city of Seattle, because every time I go up, I have to rent a, you know, $250 hotel room, and I eat out at restaurants. And he said for 2014 in Seattle, the financial impact was over $7 million. So it's something to think about, I think, in terms of whether to continue the denial of the permit for this event. I guess the last thing I really want to tell you is I hope you received Ms. McCullough's letter from the ACLU, and this really is more than anything else about both here and in Seattle, later next month in Boston at their Freedom Rally, and elsewhere around the country, an opportunity for cannabis advocates to gather and advocate peaceably, as is allowed under the Constitution, both of the United States under the First Amendment and Article 1, Section 8 of the Oregon Constitution. And I have to tell you that within the cannabis community, it feels like, even just the nature of the allegation in this, that the permittee has not, or the licensee hasn't followed through with what he said he would do, that this is a personal thing concerning Mr. Stanford. And I don't know whether that's what the city's intent is or those who are enforcing this believe, but I do want the council to know that that's the impression that it's left in the cannabis community, and that's an awful awful thing. And for these reasons, I urge the council to reverse the decision and allow the permit for this year. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
While Paul Loney is coming up, I'd like to say that we had people searching at the gate, and 75% of the people coming to the gate turned back, maybe as many as 90%. We were held to standards never before given for a permit application. We've looked at the other permits for the Blues Festival. Ours is much more extensive, and the accusation that we don't have the managerial experience to handle this is false. You know, I run a $4 million a year business helping tens of thousands Oregonians with physician services. And at one point, the city said you have to hire a professional organizer for $12,000. You have to have 40 security people there full-time for $25 an hour each. And we met all the requirements, but we felt, you know, we had no control over the event at that point. We were merely sponsors. They wouldn't talk to us. They would just talk to the event organizer. And they listed six event organizers we could hire. And once we talked to them, they told them not to work for us. And so I talked to the city, I'm not going to work for you. They listed a half dozen security companies. They were very interested in the project. Once they talked to the city, they said, no, we're not going to work for you because of what the city says. So that walkway through the middle of the park, no other event in that bowl has to fence in a walkway and restrict access from one side of the park to the other. We were held to standards never before held in this city. I'm going to go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Paul Loney. I'm an attorney here, state of Oregon. I live at 2945 Southeast 65th, South Tabor neighborhood. I recognize the mayor from back in my days as Southeast Uplift volunteer. You know, I'm here to ask you to issue a permit for this year to overturn the Park Bureau's decision. I will reiterate what Mr. Berger just said. Every year I go up on the stage and we talk about advocating, talk about change. This is our opportunity to change. We have to be the voice. And I've been a sponsor for this for at least 4 years now. And running a business with my professional license at risk, I'm not going to be a sponsor of an event where there's open and notorious law-breaking, as the Park Bureau wants to believe. As a lawyer, it's kind of their letter, their three examples, they're pretty sad. They're extremely vague, lots of hearsay, and they let, according to this, I found this part kind of laughable. I would fire the police officer. They said one day they bought something, undercover officer bought something, and next day they went back and he was still there again. Why didn't they arrest the person? Why didn't they give him a ban, exclusion from the park, like to do everybody else? Again, they, you know, seem to be looking for ways to paint this with a bad paintbrush, to say that this was not a good event. And as I heard the mayor talking about asking the right questions, nobody else out there in the public, in the city of Oregon, very few people complained about this, if anybody. You think if the Parks Bureau had a long list of complaints, they would have brought it here today. They didn't. The only people who are opposed to this event ongoing are the Parks Bureau and some members of the Portland Police Bureau. Those are the only ones. It's time for them to realize this is 2015, the voters voted last year, and we have legal marijuana in the state of Oregon. And we should be able to come together and celebrate, just like the Brew Festival. That's a huge event every year. There's wine festivals. There's barbecue festivals, neighborhood festivals. All these events happen. The police don't go to those events and sit there and scrutinize and look for minute little failings. As Mr. Stanford just talked about with the fence, you could see it was a 6-foot sidewalk. It was very obnoxious, the way they did it. You went from one area, even though you're walking directly across and they saw you walking the next area, you still had to, they still wanted you to check your bag. I mean, nowhere else would they do that. When they could see you coming from one area where already were checked in, walking across the sidewalk, checking your bag again, they were just doing that to make people feel uncomfortable, to turn down the attendance, to make the vendors unhappy at the Hempstock. They did everything in their power to make this a bad event. But they didn't succeed. People were very happy there. It was a family-friendly event. Parents always feel comfortable bringing their children. They don't feel comfortable going to the Brewer Fest with their children many times, but they tell me, I feel comfortable going to this. There's nobody going to be obnoxious. And I think that, everybody I heard spoke from the stage, including myself, we all talked about we have to follow the law. The old saying, follow the law, but change the law. That's what this was all about. The Parks Bureau seemed to bring up events that took place outside the permitted area. How far does that little area that they want the organizers to go? If I'm getting on my bicycle in South Tabor, am I then all of a sudden go to the event? Am I all of a sudden part of the event because I'm getting on my bicycle at my house? That's kind of what the Parks Bureau is thinking here. Is it's just not 2015 to them. And again, I think it is possible. It is out there. I'll just reiterate again what Mr. Berger said. This does seem to be a personal vendetta against Mr. Stanford by the Parks Bureau and certain members of the police force. There's been events since July 1st here in the city of Portland. Open and notorious smoking. Nobody said anything. And there's been no moves to stop it, tell the organizers not to do it again. It's ongoing. And for some reason, this event, which is a very popular event, which brings people from all over the state of Oregon and Washington to it, is being held to a different standard. And that's not acceptable.
So let's ask, I think you've used your main block of time, but I want to ask some questions that might help illuminate some things. And then I don't think we want to see a 13-minute video. But
can we show two?
Might be useful to see a couple of minutes of that. But first, questions. The total attendance both days?
This year, the people who came into the event, I think we never had more than about 5,000 people there at a maximum. Usually it was more around 1,000 to 2,000. I would say between 75 and 95% of the people who came to the gate did not come in because of the level of security and the statements. And during the walkway, if someone was given a free lighter by one of the vendors or they purchased a pipe, when they were made to go outside the event and back through security, security took the pipes or lighters that they had purchased or been given for free by vendors. So they weren't allowed to carry a drink from one side of the event to the other side of the event. No other event has to fence in that sidewalk. And they closed down the sidewalk after halfway through the first day and said that no longer could they go from one side of the event to the other. They had to go outside the event and back through the main gate again to go from one side of the event to the other.
Other questions?
Can I give you these letters from our vendors?
Certainly.
Let me have
just give them to Sue, and she'll distribute them for us. But let's get other questions on the table. And then
during the course of the weekend, like I said, 75 to 90% of the people turned away, and we had at most about 10,000.
Okay, Commissioner Salt.
Here are these letters.
Well, I probably should have asked this at the beginning, but is Hempstock a music festival?
Yes. Music.
Okay, so it's basically a music festival.
Yeah, I'm at a disadvantage there, too, because I was out of town that weekend. I didn't see the event. I would have gone by if I was here. Sure, either way.
Yeah, I want to point, it's music and activism. Every speaker said register to vote, especially with the election coming up last year.
Yeah.
And educating people on other candidates. That we had candidates for office come up on stage and speaking.
And the Libertarian Party nominee and the Green Party nominee speak at our event. In the past, Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, who were the nominees for those respective parties, have come spoken in our event, along with vice presidential nominees.
And another dumb question, since I wasn't there, did you have a permit for serving beer or wine? Did you
no.
serve?
So no, we did not serve beer or wine.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Once through the years, we had one permit. We didn't like it. We're not going to do that again.
Okay. Other questions? And then, again, I want to give you a chance to just show us a couple minutes of the video rather than all 13. But I think it would be good, at least for me, since I didn't get a chance
we'll
to see it.
An opportunity to see get a vignette some of the things that were said from the stage.
Sure.
Okay, should I go ahead with that?
Please.
And I just want to say, finally, again, that I am dismayed at the presentation from the city. And it's just not true.
Thank you.
That this year we are a non-smoking, drug-free, family-friendly event.
Remember, we are doing a non-smoking, family-friendly event, so...
Hey, by the way, this is...
is a drug-free, smoke-free, family-friendly event. I remind you, do not smoke marijuana in the Hipstock grounds. Okay. Don't smoke marijuana on the grounds at all. This is not National Offer a Cop a Bogey Day. All right. Thank you. I remind you, this is no smoking, no drugs, family-friendly. Who we have coming? This is a smoke-free, drug-free, family-friendly environment. Like I said before, free.
You know, this event right here is a smoke-free event. It's a family-friendly event, and we appreciate that, and we appreciate all you guys respecting those rules.
Okay, can you jump ahead and just show us a portion of the video that kind of gives us a view of the event?
All right. Now I want to remind you that marijuana is harmful, because it's not. I look forward to the day when we can openly use cannabis in this park, just like we do in Seattle.
If you can, do you have part of it that just shows
the
crowd?
We established a new industry here in this.
Filming the crowd?
Yeah, I got it.
In Ann Arbor, when we used to have free concerts.
John Sinclair. John Lennon wrote a song about John Sinclair.
We used to have to pay off the police
led the overturning
to not come onto the site. They could they had to stay in the parking lot and take care of the park. And they'd be walking around with their helmet, keep them outside. But today, this is a new low for me when the hemp stock organization has to pay these guys to come in here and hassle us. I don't get it. I think once you legalize it, you get that over with. And I'm all due respect to these guys. I know they serve an important role as security guards in our society, but hey, I feel secure as a motherfucker out here. You know what I'm saying? I feel really unsafe with this kind of environment.
Okay.
Enough.
Okay, that's good. Right. Now it gives us a vignette of it. Thank you. Other questions? Follow-up?
Yeah, Mr. Stanford, just given your excerpt on the film there where you said that, you know, unlike Seattle, we can't smoke here in the park. So if we were to grant you the festival permit, I mean, it's even going to be more impossible than ever to make sure people don't smoke, isn't it, given legalization?
I don't think so. I think we can just as easily ask people not to smoke at the event. You know, tobacco's been legal for a long time, and we say there's no smoking. And, you know, I didn't see smoking in the park. I did not smell smoke in the park. So I'm just amazed that the city can come in here with a straight face and say what they've said, the people from the Parks Department and the police.
And so Seattle does allow smoking in
the
parks?
They do. And, in fact, the city of Seattle is the director of the Seattle Hemp Fest is here today, and he'll speak to this. They waived the no smoking in the park rule during the Seattle Hemp Fest.
Why was so many of the speakers reminding people not to smoke if people weren't
smoking?
Because
that's what we were told we would do. We would make announcements periodically, and so we did. And we wanted to make certain that we followed our rules and make certain that people didn't smoke in the park.
Thank you.
Other questions? We may have more for you later when you come back up for rebuttal, but let's give individual folks a chance to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so now individual supporters of the appellant. Sue, why don't you start down the list, and if we've got you mislabeled as a supporter of the appeal and you oppose it, just wait, and we'll make sure we call you then.
How many do we have signed up?
We have about 30.
Okay, again, 2 minutes each, and Commissioner Fritz, I'll let you run this part of the agenda, please.
Thank you. And the first three are Leah Flynn, Luke Zinn.
Flynn is
Luke Zimmerman, Vivian McPeat, and last name Bealum, B-E-A-L-U-M.
Bealum. Come on up.
They'll be followed by Steve Wessing, Michael Baccarat, and Michael Riviere. You'll know your name. Thanks.
Go ahead, please.
Can I start? Hello, my name is Luke Zimmerman. I'm an attorney. I've been practicing in the area for cannabis law for about the last 2 years. Last year was my first year attending Hempstock, and I have been attending cannabis events from San Bernardino up to Seattle. and I will say this was the most smoke-free event that I've ever attended. I was very impressed with how regulated and how controlled the event was. I think for the statements of saying that there was drug use surrounding the event in the, outside in the park, for having walked downtown on any weekend night, I've seen open drug use in the city of Portland. That I don't think this was unique to this event, if that's what you're trying to target it as. I think that's a very unfair label. I found it to be actually a very family-friendly event. I think this is a unique opportunity for Portland to embrace the change in laws that have occurred for the state. And I think this event, especially for this year, is really important for showing how Portland is embracing and accepting the paradigm shift that's going on in the state right now, that I hope the city will issue this permit. Thank you.
Answer.
My name is Vivian McPeak. I'm the executive director of Seattle Hemp Fest. I live at 6911 12th Avenue Northeast in Seattle, Washington. This is the 25th year of the Seattle Hemp Fest in Washington State. We get in excess of 100,000 people every day to our three-day annual special event. It is true that we worked with the city in the last couple of years to develop some 21 and over areas which were out of public view. People's IDs were checked. It had a fire retardant stuff on the fence that you couldn't see through. Anticipating that in the future of large public events in states that have legalized recreational marijuana, that just like there are beer gardens at many events that adults go to consume alcohol out of the hands of children, that there would eventually be events with places set aside for adults to consume marijuana legally out of public view. You know, it just really feels to me, I've been to Hemp Stock many times, I've emceed the event several times, it feels like issue-based discrimination to some degree, that I couldn't imagine a football game being denied a permit because somebody might be in the parking lot drinking beer. It seems like the same kind of justification. If the organizers are clearly using their free speech, their time up on that stage, using that public land to get their political message out, it seems to me that you would need more than anticipated misconduct of a small percentage of attendees to deny them that free speech. Seems like an overreach to me. Seattle Hemp Fest did work with a professor at the University of Washington last year for the 2014 event, and the economic impact study said that Hemp Fest, all in all, in the greater King County area, generated $7.1 million of economic impact in the area. It was responsible for about 154 jobs in the area. So there's a lot of potential, especially with the kind of changing political landscape, a lot of potential for these large public events to give back to the community while certainly putting a laser focus on community values, which is very important. And we certainly don't want children exposed to cannabis smoke, secondhand smoke, cigarette smoke either. I think there's every reason to believe that, that Hempstock can achieve that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Question, if I can, before we move on, and that is I haven't attended the Seattle Hemp Fest either. Where is that event held? Is it park? Is it in a
It's a great question. It's 1.5 miles long on the Seattle waterfront, right under the Space Needle, on three city parks that are conjoined on city park property.
Okay, thank you.
good afternoon. My name is Ungayo. I live in California, but I'm up here in Portland all the time, 6 to 10 times a year. As a performer and as a host of the Hempstock for the past 9 or 10 years. I got to say, like, I do a lot of events. I've been to the Hempfest, been to the Hempstock, I've been to Boise, been to Madison, I've been to a lot of places. The Portland Hempstock is really the one that goes out of their way to make sure that all the rules are followed. Like, I was surprised when I showed up and they were like, you can't bring marijuana to a Hempstock. It's like you can't bring beer to Oktoberfest. I didn't really get it. But that's part of the permit, and people go out of their way to do that. And they informed us and reminded us to make sure everybody knew. The new people are coming in. You got to let them know the new rules. Everybody's coming in. And so I think it would be great if you guys could see fit to approve this permit, and we can continue to come up, and all our friends can come up, and we can spend money and eat your delicious food and have your nice microbrews and coffees. Thank you.
Thank you. Well.
The next three, please. Steve Wessing, Michael Baccara, Michael LaRiviere, followed by Victoria Harwood, John Cornett, and Judy Cornett.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Council. My name is Michael Baccara. I live at 1103 Southwest Ivory Loop.
We actually don't need addresses.
Okay. Our Hemstalk 2015 application for the 11th annual event was denied on November 5th, 2014. I am asking for your decision to stand with us in our appeal. In solidarity with the ACLU of Oregon and in honor of the late great activists Jack Herer and Larry L.K. Kirk, after whom the Hemstalk Memorial stages are named after, I am asking for our freedom of speech rights to be honored, that the city issue the permit to peacefully assemble for the annual Portland Hempstalk Festival. Hempstalk worked diligently with a sustainable program at PSU to ensure a clean atmosphere. We had on map and on site over 70 garbage locations complete with recycling throughout the entire park. We left the entire park cleaner than we found it. We even cleaned hypodermic needles. Our festival takes safety seriously and worked hard to comply with everything that had been addressed. Again, TAC 1 handled the crowd management. Per the contract, they did what they were hired to do. The Portland police were aware of the protocol in place to report any illegal activities. They did not do so to us. They were to be working with the security company. We were demoted. As for safety, we hired Ron Forbes and Event Medical Services, the same team used as Blues Fest. They were on site the entire event. They can verify and summarize there was not an abundance of issues, and the event was in fact a success. In 2015, during the Buddy Guy and Greg Allman Blues Fest performance, hundreds of people were observed smoking publicly. Some security members would ask people to stop. However, most did nothing. This was not protocol. My question is, how many photos would need to be submitted to have Blues Fest, Music Fest, or Beer Fest shut down for the use of cannabis?
Thank you for your testimony.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Michael LaRiviere, and I'm an activist for the rights for hempstalk, as well as use for marijuana for recreational use. And I believe we should have hempstalk this year because following the lead, learning from Seattle, from the Hemp Fest in Seattle this month, we can learn a lot from the Hemp Fest according to Seattle. So I believe we should have hempstalk this year. And I believe in within city limits or okay. And my other advocate is it's safer than alcohol. Marijuana is absolutely safer than alcohol. I am a daily user, and I believe. Yeah, okay, and I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, my name is Steve Wessing. I'm an OMMP patient. I have been a volunteer stage manager for Hempstalk since its inception in 2005. I've provided you with a copy of my statement. If it goes a little long, you can read it later. Let me begin by saying that I was once proud to live in Portland. I believed that the police and the city departments were honorable and working in the interest of the citizens. In recent years, I've lost that pride. In past years, the city was helpful and worked in good faith to set reasonable limits and to assist us in providing a safe and enjoyable venue for our free speech event. When the current administration took office, that changed dramatically. This is Portland. 72% of our neighbors approved legalization of cannabis. Yet, as the public and the law have become more tolerant of cannabis, our police and department, our parks department policies have become less tolerant. This is no longer the city I used to love. You pretend to embrace equality, yet you treat us unequally. You allow commercial alcohol events by the dozens where alcohol use is encouraged and celebrated, but you obstruct a free speech event with a 10-year history of successful growth and massive local support because you disagree with our message. It is my opinion that these actions are a violation of our rights under the United States Constitution. In 2014, We complied with your unreasonable restrictions in an attempt to convince you of our sincere intent to provide a safe event, even to the point of allowing you to influence the content of our speech. Our efforts toward cooperation were met with continued confrontational behavior by Portland police, who interfered repeatedly with our stage operations, and false accusations that we ignored your illegal restrictions of our speech and allowed public consumption of cannabis. By these actions, you have abridged the rights of dozens of dedicated volunteers who have acted in good faith to navigate your impossible restrictions, hundreds of performers and speakers, and thousands of
participants. We do have the rest of your testimony in writing. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Just a question, though, if I might.
Yes.
This is an interesting hearing already in that we're hearing pretty disparate views of the same event from city staff and the folks that were testifying. We'll continue and we'll learn more. And again, I'm sorry that I wasn't in town because I would have liked to have seen this myself, because it's always better to have your own eyes on a situation like this. So in the future, I'll do that. But tell me more about the police bureau, because you talked about them interfering with stage operations.
Yes,
we had
an agreement that our stage crew and volunteers who were wearing visible passes would be able to use the entrance adjacent to the stage for, you know, to bring the bands in, to bring equipment in, to get speakers to and from the stage. We were told halfway through the event that we were no longer allowed to do that, that we had to send all of our equipment and people all the way around through the main front entrance, that they would no longer be able to enter through the stage, even if they were wearing our identification. And they sprung this on us halfway through the second day of the event. That, to me, is there's no purpose to it. There wasn't a large crowd to be controlled. There was no reason to do it except to be an obstructionist and try and disrupt our event.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next three, Victoria Harwood, John Cornett, Judy Cornett. They'll be followed by Justin Bridges, Scott Gordon, Nikki Gatos.
Victoria? Mayor Hales, he's gone. Where'd he go? He's gone.
He'll be back.
He'll be back? I wanted to speak to him. Anyway, and committee members, my name is Victoria Hagwood, and I've volunteered for over 10 years for HempStock, and I'm here to, I was there last year too. I saw both days, everything that went on. And I'm in due to support of HempStock. The city sets rules and regulations that must be met to obtain a permit. I'm here to testify that Paul Stanford has always done the best to comply with those requests. Therefore, I feel the city of Portland is being unfair to HempStock. That's all I have to say for now. Thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Judy Cornett. I live in Forest Grove. I'm one of the people in this room that looks a whole lot more like you, and I have a background much more like yours as a businesswoman. I did not come to cannabis easily late in life, but out of medical necessity. Last year, I worked part-time as a volunteer at HempStock. The efforts that were made to comply with the outrageous rules that were set for this event were paramount. Everybody chipped in. Nobody smoking. Nobody using. Everybody talking about it everywhere. I worked the northeast gate for the park entrance, for the main park entrance, at the beginning of the event when people were trying to pour in when they normally would have, when we had the security taking everything away from people. Cigarette lighters? You're not allowed to have a cigarette lighter? This is illegal. You know, I'm not I'm not the person that puts on the event, and I'm not an attorney, and so I feel a little bit freer to say things than that they might not, and I'm not that I'm speaking for anyone. But as a businesswoman, as an entrepreneur for a number of years, you know, I had a lot of occasion to learn something about business law and to have to look at the variety of people